Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to Matt Quatrero. He's got this Royals team off to 11-6 start, and some moves in particular he's been making, I think, are a great sign for something we probably weren't able to judge at all last year. You know, we said last year with his first year as a manager and with that roster and the way the team, how could you really judge positive or negatively based off a year? Well, this year is a more realistic test, and so far we'll get into some of the specifics that has him, by the way, with the fourth best odds to be the AL manager of the year.
I would guess that Bobby Wood Jr. is in the top five for American League MVP. I would guess that Cole Reagans is in the top five for American League Cy Young.
He is. Yes. We'll get into all
is
that.
Is Seth Lugo in the top five for Cy Young at the moment?
He's not.
What's holding him back?
We can get into that more specifically here in just a little bit. We'll also get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes or so. But we know the draft is a week from Thursday, and we hope to see all of you out at the Landing. That's on April 25th. The Landing in Liberty is presented by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll all be up there watching the first round, waiting till pick 32. And again, at that party, you'll have a chance to fill out a draft form. You can go on 610sports.com right now. If you think you know how the draft is going, you get points for the right player, the right team, chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merchandise. So that's all going on at the Landing next Thursday night. It's coming up. And I think at this point, enough names have been thrown out. Maybe you've done your own research, whatever it may be.
You said that like you were saying, like, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's as I was saying research, I'm like,
you say it that way, and people immediately start going that
direction.
Well,
so I was just going to say, like, maybe
you've draft research.
I was going to say just normally, like, maybe you've just done your own research, and then I realized that phrase saying, I did my own research, has unfortunately been hijacked into a lot of different meanings. Anyway,
I have done my own research.
Anyway, when it comes to the draft, certain names maybe that you like, and we'll ask the text line this as well, 913-586-7610. There's got to be a couple names that maybe are your draft crushes. Now, realistic names. Yes, I want Rome Odunze on the Chiefs. He's not coming to Kansas City, okay?
A name that could be available is realistic to be available at 32. Not Brian Thomas.
Don't give me Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers, okay? That's not happening.
Don't give me Joe Alt.
Okay.
We're looking for people at 32, because we can give trade-up candidates as we get closer to the draft as well. I'm open to do that. Let's hear yours first.
Yeah, so this won't surprise you based off of my last couple years of thought.
Is it all three tackles?
Not all three. Two of the three.
Okay.
Two of the three.
I thought for sure it was going to be tackle, and then maybe I thought a third tackle.
Two of the three are tackles because I still deep down would like this organization to have a fairly long-term solution at left tackle on a rookie contract. So two names. One of these popped up a ton on our mock drafts we've gone through with the mock draft sounder. Kingsley Suamataia, okay, out of BYU. His name, we already have his name down. That's how often his name has popped up in the mock drafts out of BYU. He's someone that I think is realistic that could be there at 32. Then Tyler Guyton. This name is another one. The only thing, I wonder if they can get him in the second round, I'll admit. But Tyler Guyton, another tackle. I think he's like 6'7". So that is exciting to me when it comes to a left tackle. And then I do have one wide receiver, A.D. Mitchell, no surprise. Lowest drop rate of any wide receiver, minimum 100 targets coming out of the draft.
I feel like he was getting mocked 30 days ago, 60 days ago, right. And he'll probably get mocked up until the day of the draft.
One drop and 103 targets last year for A.D. Mitchell. So those are the three names where I would be thrilled if they drafted.
I went ahead and did this all three positions, although I think I could have made an argument for doing the exact same thing I just said to you, and I just gave you three wide receiver names I liked. I really spent some time looking over the wide receivers to decide the one I wanted the most at 32. Because I'll be honest, I think there might be five or six or seven names available at 32, depending on how these teams value them. I think there might be a wide range of players available at that spot. So it was tough to narrow down, but I decided on a guy that we got brought up in a mock draft center the other day, because when I looked further at his stuff, I was impressed. Xavier Leggett. Give me Leggett. I like the size. I like the speed. I still don't like that Drew called him MVS, but we can move on from that for just a brief moment.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I didn't call Leggett MVS. I don't like that. I called Keon.
We also looked at the verticals, like, what was it, 10 inches different or something?
Yeah, he can jump. He is fast. He was productive in his final year. I just think that when I look at the size and the speed and the capability, the raw route running, I worry less about with Chiefs wide receivers than any others for one main reason. I think it makes it harder to get on the field, so admittedly that would be a problem for him in the early going. Andy Reid schemes up the largest average separation at wide receiver versus any other coach in the league for the last 5 years running. So, like, if you have skill, if you are fast and you are athletic, Andy will typically get you open. Look at Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney stinks overall, but he's open. He's open before he drops the ball and it goes to the other team. So I feel like Leggett's got some ability. So him, I also had Guyton. Yeah. And then my third one, because I decided I wanted all three positions, Johnny Newton, the defensive lineman. Felt like he was like a fringe firsty second guy. I've seen him as high as like 15 in the draft, and I'm seeing as low as like 45. So clearly a guy who has varied opinions on him. 7.5 sacks, literally got more sacks and more playing time every single year he was in college. I always liked that. Big physical guy, seemed like a good fit for the Chiefs.
Yeah, look, I almost put Leggett on my list just because as you look at the type of wide receiver, I feel like that would also finally end a little bit of the annoyance of Mecole Hardman, DK Metcalf comparison stuff that has gone on for many years. I think it should already be over, but it's not apparently, even though he caught a game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. But that would be maybe the guy that ends some of that. Not that he's going to be DK Metcalf, but body and wise, he fits that.
He is definitely that size.
Yeah, which is different than what they've had, which does bring some excitement. So he was close. Yeah, I wouldn't hate the pick. I still wonder, you know, the names that we've all mentioned, like him, Keon Coleman, these exciting wide receivers. Is 32 the right spot? Like, is this a scenario where you can trade back a little bit and you end up with like the sixth or seventh pick of the second round, you know? And so you're able to actually get a pick. Like, do you have to take them at 32? That'd be my only question.
Debatable. And I think that's the problem with players at 32 is, because like someone said, the true thing I'm falling in love with is falling back and like trading back and then falling. I've already told you I'd be very fine with that. Totally fine with that. I think there's a lot of argument in that talent, but 32 comes with wide varied opinions, as you know. The Chiefs will tell you the guy they took at 32 is actually a guy they had top 20 on their board or whatever, because nobody agrees on the top 20. You can pull every single, like, I don't remember who it was. I think maybe someone wrote an article at The Athletic, and they had them, or maybe The Ringer, they had them tier out quarterbacks in this year's draft. And it was half tiers, right? So like A-, B, B-, whatever, essentially, right? Half tiers. Caleb Williams was all on his own, and then it was a mess after that amongst the other GMs. Now, maybe some are trying to throw smoke screens because they want other people to think they don't like Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
But Brett Veach is probably just giving you an honest opinion about where he would rank the quarterbacks in the very limited research he has done as a unit, because they don't have to look at quarterbacks. But still, like, that's you think it, like, that's it. That's a pick four. What do you think happens when you get to 32?
And like with A.D. Mitchell, it's definitely more of a wish list, because AD Mitchell, you could be in a spot where you might have to trade up. Knowing that, you know, could you look who's in front? The Bills are taking a wide receiver. After trading Stephon Diggs, the Bills are taking a wide receiver. Are they trading up? And if they're not, this is a scenario where the Chiefs, do you have to leapfrog Buffalo if you think AD Mitchell is the guy you want? So that's, you just sit at 32, is AD Mitchell there? I'm not so sure. What about you, Drew? The three draft crushes, if you will, for the Chiefs.
So I've got one of different positions. It's not
so you did it like
two
me
of the
little.
Same. Yes, I did it more like you, Cody. Ladd McConkey I've got in there. And the reason I have him over Keon Coleman is I think just in terms of what Andy does, I think Ladd McConkey can be used in more than just a couple different ways. He can run routes. He can do the jet sweep stuff. He can do a variety of different things for your offense that I think he'd be a gadget guy that can do a little bit of everything that fits Andy's offense. Jordan Morgan, the tackle out of Arizona, I think, you know, I don't know if you can go wrong with the tackle, but in terms of taking one at 32, I think that Jordan Morgan's a guy that's come up more often in that space. Tyler Guyton is another name who could be around in that frame. Sua Mataia as well. In terms of getting, you know, one of the higher ended guys, even like J.C. Latham, he's not going to fall that far. Ty Lee Fuaga from Oregon State's not going to fall that far. That might be one of the better options they have. And then I'm going to go to the corner side of things. Now, hear me out. This is a situation where at 32, if you go best player available, I think that Nate Wiggins is a guy that
corner.
If he falls, and I know that the luxurious need it's not the biggest need, but I think in terms of best player available at the position, you get somebody who can be a home run, go on the other side of McDuffie. You're paying him rookie money. You have him for at least 3 to 5 years, and he can be a stud in that defense. I think that's more of a best available sort of pick that I think could really actually work out if he's there.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah was on the morning show today, and I don't know if it was from his interview with Bob and Josh. You should check out the interview, but in the last day or two, he was talking about Nate Wiggins, and I'll be honest, this is just from one article, and Daniel Jeremiah is just one draft quote-unquote expert, but he says that Nate Wiggins' tackling is a problem. Quote, you can't hide those guys anymore. That scares the hell out of me for a first round pick. A guy who can't tackle?
Which is why I think he, you know, cause
corner?
He
was. Wide receivers are big and strong and fast.
He was mocked like top 15.
Yeah.
All the way up until like the last couple weeks.
And then everyone decided to look at the tape and decided he couldn't.
Now all of a sudden
hit.
He's fallen. So
hip drop tackles, that takes away other way to get someone down.
In terms of coverage skills, he's one of the best, if not the best corner in the draft. But I mean, and tackling is a concern that obviously you need to have.
Someone says one of the Pro Football Focus mock had us taking the white corner out of Iowa.
Cooper DeJean?
Oh, his last name's not white? Like, as in, okay, I see.
No. I got you. But don't remember this. His name became even more popular because there was a whole thing on social media about, I don't even remember which former professional athlete it was, who was just like,
the race draft thing?
Yeah, and then it was...
That was Will Compton.
And then it was, Will Compton just like
from Barstool or
white
whatever.
People would have no corners at all. And then it was like, well, we will have DeJean soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Will Compton.
Oh, God, that was so bad. Go back and look at it. It was a very interesting thread, at least.
Yes.
All right, we've got our picks. Those are our draft. Okay. I reserve the right to change mine before next.
Of course.
Before next Thursday.
This is, hey, people put out 30 different mocks. We can change our
Aren't
list.
Aren't you proud of me? I had a tackle on there.
I am.
A high upside tackle. A guy who hasn't played a lot of left tackle.
Someone's with the third, as in just take any left
tackle.
There's
so many mocks out there. Even Andy Reid is paying attention to how many mocks are getting released, which is
everybody's got a mock these days. You do want to check out the Character Concerns mock draft of the Character Concerns shows podcast. And then on Saturdays at 10 a.m. it airs. And then, of course, draft week. I mean, Chris and Sarah J. Binkley going to be on nonstop Thursday night, Friday. We're going to have Bink on our show tomorrow. So we got plenty of draft coverage. And again, join us at the landing next Thursday.
What are the chances that Andy Reid's come across Bink and Chris's?
I think Brad Veach has in the past. My understanding is he has seen Bink's work in the past.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
50-50. All Andy does is consume football. I don't think he's reading World War II books. He's probably just like digging through mocks like everybody else.
We'll get to the trash of the day in about 5 minutes or so. The Royals are 11-6, and there's always this question of, all right, how much can you give credit? How much can you blame a manager across a winning or a losing season? And as I said to start the hour, last year, I don't know how you could possibly judge Matt Cotrero. 56-win season, first year, the roster turnover that we've seen for this year tells you all need to know. That was not a roster that was, I don't care who the hell the manager was. I even said this a couple years ago when Mike Matheny was the manager. Like, I don't care if you, whoever you consider the greatest manager of all time, how many more wins would last year's team have? So I kind of just said, all right, last year to me was a free pass type of season. This year, you got some more talent, maybe some expectations. Let's see how you do. And I know it's only mid-April, but so far, man, you got to love the buttons that Q is pushing at this point in time, in particular with the bullpen. Not only do you have one of the best teams record-wise right now, but I think it's a big deal when we have the conversation about Will Smith. And we brought this up late last week, how he handled the decision the prior weekend in the ninth inning when Will Smith was struggling. And he was willing to make the switch. And they win that game because he switches to, I think it was MacArthur, in that particular instance. You know, he publicly having the guys back, but also still willing to make the move in a game. That's a big deal. And I love seeing that already. Like there's a willingness to, you know, not overmanage by any means, but man, right now it seems like you're pushing all the right buttons, specifically with the bullpen and the usage there.
I kind of gave Q the past year last year, cause I'm like, yeah, look, I don't think the talent's there. I don't know what he's supposed to do. And I think as a manager who is fundamentally changing the way an organization operates from about 50% of the time we're using analytics and whatevs, and then to 100% we are by the book, by the numbers. That is how we operate as a unit. And I understand there's like a little bit of flexibility in there, but way less than there had been in the past. That it was going to take a year to put in those processes. This year I've been very impressed specifically with bullpen uses. Now I'll admit, the starting pitching is probably making those decisions a little bit easier.
Hey, sure.
Okay. I mean, the level of starting pitching they're getting is probably making those decisions simpler. But like last night, to go back, he got asked in postgame. He got asked by Joel or whatever, like, hey, you know, you went back to a guy after an off game. He's like, not going back to it. The numbers say he's a high leverage guy. We're going to use him in leverage. So just because he was bad in leverage on Saturday night does not mean we're not going to use him in leverage on Monday night. Or Sunday night, then we're not going to use him in leverage Monday night. So they went right back to him, even though that was the case. And I feel like he's just sticking to the guns of this is what it supports. Like, go back to Saturday's lineup is kind of an interesting case of that. Vinny Pasquantino is the hottest hitter in the entire lineup. He is the second best hitter, maybe to Bobby, on the entire team. And on Saturday, he did not play Vinny Pasquantino. Not because he was cold. He didn't play Vinny because he had a lefty, which every metric suggested this guy was so much worse against righties. You had no choice. He put an all-righty lineup that had Nick Lofton hitting cleanup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know about this. What did they do? Scored 11 runs and won. So, it just seems like a lot of it's working.
I think, this will be something to track all year. Look, they hired him. Part of the reason, Cody, was he buys in the analytics. He came over from the Rays. We know they wanted to shift more in that direction. Didn't mean they didn't have analytics in the front office before, but prior regime wasn't willing to maybe go all in the way this regime is. They also needed a manager that was willing to go all in with it. Now there's that balance because I hope we're having conversations that this team is, you know, basically playing playoff type games in September, right?
Please.
But the only tricky thing with this is what you said, which is like, he just went with the analytics. There's always that we saw this play out in the postseason.
The Tampa Bay Rays World Series is definitely the one.
Was it Kevin
mention.
Cash?
Cash pulled a guy after five innings
and
it blew up.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's always in the back of my mind of like
he was on that
being
coaching staff
100% on the analytics. Like, to me, there still is a little feel you got to have in a bounce, and we'll see as time plays out.
But I thought the Will Smith thing is what showed feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will Smith was their closer. He is a leverage guy for them. And then when he got in trouble, like you mentioned, they pulled him.
Yeah, no, and I love that. I love seeing that. And Matt Quatrero's got the fourth best odds, guys, to be the American League Manager of the Year. The Orioles manager last year won it, if you were curious. And here's where the other managers that are quote unquote ahead of him. For manager of the year, AJ Hinch in Detroit makes sense. They're off to a really nice start as well.
Although a worse start than the Royals.
And as I'm saying,
and we're expected to be better than the Royals.
I tweeted out last night the odds fourth. As I just pulled back up, he's now second. So he's actually improved. Oh. Other people bet on it after last night's game.
Loaded.
Yeah.
So he's only behind AJ Hinch?
He's only behind AJ Hinch. He was 8-1 or 9-1 last night. Fourth best odds. Just pulled it up. He's only behind AJ Hinch, who's plus 350. Quatrero 6-1. Aaron Boone of the Yankees 7-1. Stephen Vogt of the Guardians, who are in first place, 7-1, and then Alex Cora of the Red Sox, plus 750. This is going to change a million times, but still, if you're talking about like the formula to win Manager of the Year, a team with low expectations nationally, team that won 56. If they have a special year and all of a sudden you take a 56-win team and get to 80 or something, you're going to have a great shot. Should be Manager of the Year.
Every single team you mentioned had more expectation than the Royals. People had more expectations for the Tigers, for the Guardians, for the Yankees, for the Orioles. All those teams that are inside the top five with them had more expectations placed upon them than the Royals. And I understand that some of that's a narrative. You're like, what, he gets to win the Manager of the Year because his team is supposed to be worse? Yes.
That's kind of how this goes.
That's
a Coach of the Year award in the NFL, you know, as you were saying. Like,
yeah, lowest expectations, biggest increase. That's a good way to give out Coach of the Year, in my opinion. Like, I think sometimes, like, I thought Andy Reid could have, I think you can make exceptions for it. Because Andy Reid had to deal with what was a useless wide receiver unit for 90% of the season last year and still took that team to a division title and all of those things. I would have given Andy, I thought that was a really good coaching job for me. Like, one of his better ones, and he's already one of the best coaches. But that was never going to get him enough. Man has too many expectations. Andy Reid can't win it unless they go 15-2?
Yeah, you got to win 15 or more games.
Something like that.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get a quick trash of the day in. This one takes us overseas in a pretty disgusting moment where people were just having dinner at a restaurant called St. Smokey's Barbecue House.
Okay.
They discovered there was a mess as they arrived for work. They then went back and watched some CCTV footage back and were astonished to see a suspect spreading feces across the business at around 1:30 in the morning.
What the hell?
Police said a 45-year-old man has since been arrested on suspicion of criminal damage. The owners of the eatery were astonished. There's screenshots of this. This guy basically decided in the middle of the night to just cover the windows in crap. Quote, they had to clean the windows. The guy deliberately smeared it into the lock, so it meant unlocking the door was difficult
because
it was covered in poo. It was really upsetting. It took them half the morning to make sure they had disinfected and cleaned thoroughly. They had to stop what they were doing in the shop to do that. And they're reporting, police are investigating reported damage to a business and street furniture in the neighborhood as well. He remains in custody. How drunk or messed up do you have to be to smear your own crap on windows and intentionally all over the lock as well so that they had to make sure they touched
it? That just feels so deliberate.
Yes.
They had to have had a bad experience, maybe. I don't know, that where they just went crazy for, I don't know.
I'll be honest, though. I'm sure it's a great restaurant there in Canterbury or wherever. I'm not going for a couple days. I'm going to let that disinfect in a couple days.
Yeah.
I think
you got to just close down the business for a day or two.
They said they disinfected it. I got to let just other...
A few more cycles of disinfecting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't care how great the restaurant is. I'm not the first customer at the door the next morning after I hear about a story
maybe
like that.
Maybe he took some drugs that had a weird impact. You remember when all those people back in the day were like smoking K2 and apparently having problems? Is that still a thing?
I don't know if they're allowed.
K2? I mean, pot's just legal in Missouri now. You should just go get the real thing. But
it just sounds like you're trying to validate what this guy just did.
Where did he get all the crap? From himself?
I
don't know.
No way.
I don't know if they know for sure if it was his. Where else do you think he got it, Drew?
Also, the timing on that.
I don't know.
His dog? Would he grab his dogs?
I could just
Well, but did he have this planned out the whole time? He's like, all right,
he's
I know.
Saving
it's
it?
It's 1:30.
Oh, that's worse.
No. But like, he just, it was his decision to go.
From the story description, it sounds like it's not just, you know, one bowel movement to do what he did.
That's the trash of the day. But yeah, I'm definitely waiting a couple days for that disinfectant to disinfect over and over and over. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing you don't have to do with the first round pick. And Mahomes on the cover of Time Magazine. He had one interesting quote that I think could be fun in a few years. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Can we briefly talk about, not a song, I'll get back to that later.
Oh, no.
I'll get back to that later. I'm still working on that. That an NFL owner has decided to essentially play The Bachelor between starting quarterbacks. Does that seem like just the worst conceivable idea on the planet?
Yeah, so Albert Breer reporting that the Commanders, for their top 30 visits, they're having J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels all in at the same time on their visit. So I don't know if they're all going to dinner together as well, but they're all doing it all at the same time, which is normally not how it's done.
Judging by what they order at the restaurant or something? Like,
well,
what's
that
the plan
might already
here?
Happen. I just mean the fact, what do you want to see how they interact with each other? It's just, they're not going to be teammates ever. It's just get it all done at once. So it's like, what, a level playing field? It's just kind of weird. Like, yeah, we actually, we got plans this weekend. Let's just get it all done.
You would
day.
Think you'd have a wide receiver or a tight right. end or, yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's different. I'll give them that. Ultimately, none of this matters, right? If they draft the right guy and the guy, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to care about this. This could have been the greatest idea ever. And if the quarterback sucks, they draft him. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter. I don't think deep down, it's still going to come down to, like, all this stuff is all the talk 3 years from now, 2 years from now. How do we view the quarterback? Did they draft the right guy or not? It's not going to be because they had all these guys hanging out together.
Or didn't have them all hanging out, but it's just a weird choice. They're already pitted against each other. They're playing high level college athletics. They're a part of these processes for all these teams where essentially they're competing for these teams' attention side by side by side. They're already in a pressure pack situation. You don't have to add, will you take this rose at the end of the process?
Yeah. You saw that happen with Golden Bachelor. They already got divorced. That Golden Bachelor
show. They're already divorced?
Yeah, 3 months in. I just saw the
news. Did they get married? And are already divorced, huh?
They weren't living together, I think. That was part of the problem. Like, he didn't want to, because again,
well, they pay
older.
You money to, first off, they'll pay you money to get married. Because they know how much they can make off of a wedding. So there's like, sometimes I think there's like $1 million, dude, if you go through the wedding. I'll tell you right now, I'd get married and divorced for $1 million.
I think what happened, though, they said that he was living, like, he didn't want to move, and she didn't want to move. That was the issue, because they both, their lives have been established. I mean, he's like 60-something years old or whatever. But anyway, Gary, that's right, that was his name, Gary.
Classical guy name.
Spelled G-E-R-R-Y.
Even better.
Gary.
Even
and
better.
And Teresa.
What's the success rate of bachelors? What's the divorce rate in that group?
It's probably not very
high.
Is it
the U.S.? Well, the U.S. average is 50%.
All I know
is,
to me, that show...
There's a 50... Between the two of us, Drew, one of us might get divorced. You never know.
Well,
50-50.
I mean, it's...
Between... I think many years ago, so obviously, I've watched that show before, but I gave up on that show when I realized that the other guy that used to host it, not Jesse Palmer or whatever he hosted now, whatever Harrison or whatever, when he got divorced.
Chris Harrison? What was his name?
Yeah, I think it
when Chris
was
Harrison,
like
the host of The Bachelor, got divorced, then I knew he can't host the show and then it's over. Now, that's not why he got basically kicked off the show or whatever. But that's when the show can't work anymore. When the host is getting divorced, the host couldn't find love, then The Bachelor.
Love's hard,
it
man.
It can't happen anymore.
Anyway. All right, so as of 2022, only five couples from the Bachelor franchise are still with their final picks from the show.
Well, I'm surprised it's happening. Good for them.
However, counting only those who had proposed, that number shrinks. Okay. With 26 Bachelor in total, the success rate of just like making it to the end, like as in they're still with that person, 4%.
My guess is with
that's the success rate of any relationship, though, you know?
I get my guess, though, with that, too. It's got to be brutal when, look, you do the show and then you got to stay quiet for 3 or 4 months and then the show's playing out. And if you're the couple and if, you know, whether it's he or she, doesn't matter whoever sure. feels a certain way. Let's say it's The Bachelor. And so you have the ability to watch how he acted towards all these other women. He's like making out with them.
Yeah.
And the show's obviously, you know, like lead you to believe they had sex one night or whatever. Meanwhile, the guy you're in a relationship with is watching all that. That'd be tough, man. That would put a strain on any relationship. Imagine if you guys
now
know,
you're watching these episodes, right. And you're like, you were making out with that girl the whole other time.
True. Like you proposed to your wife and now you've been married for a couple of years, but and then all of a sudden she went back and she got to watch any prior relationship that you had.
Sure.
She just got to watch just watch it play out. That'd be tough.
Yes. No. That's where the show I don't think could work for somebody like myself in that situation. Or anybody. I mean, if it works out, it works out, but still.
Gold's, you're 33?
Yeah.
33 years old. I mean, every person he's dating at this point has dated many people. Just turn a blind eye. Don't watch the show.
But that's. I think it's way different than if
fast forward or something.
It's way different if I just knew somebody obviously had been in multiple relationships, versus watching on TV the very detailed conversations and hearing the person that you're relationship like express. It would be very difficult.
Maybe the crew can just send you an edited version. You know, Netflix?
Yeah, right.
People are writing tabloids and stuff about every episode, man. There's no avoiding it.
Netflix currently has an option that if, like, let's say you're watching any show, doesn't matter. You're watching Bridgerton.
Okay.
You can be like, hey, I want to watch this. And it'll give you a choice at the beginning of the show. Be like, hey, but don't show me all the sex scenes.
Like really?
I think the idea is like if you're watching with like a kid or something,
sure.
You know,
well,
or
don't
someone
watch Bridgerton.
I'm not kid. That's the obvious choice here. I'm just letting you know if that's available. Maybe that's available for The Bachelor. That's all.
Thinking of future, was a reality TV star. Could be another reality TV star at some point in the future.
Maybe he's smarter than a fifth grader. If he does that, we're going to bring that back all the time.
Of course, we're talking about Travis Kelce and what the plan could be down the road to eventually have to replace at some point, whether it's a year from now or 4 years from now, at some point they're going to have to replace
them. Yeah. And reality is you're never going to truly replace Travis Kelce. You're going to try to replace a portion of his production and then replace the rest of it in the wide receiver room, like a normal team. But Sheil Kapadia and Mina Kimes were having a conversation both on her podcast and then on social media yesterday. They pointed out something I think is really important for the Chiefs as it relates to where they pick in the draft, where they will consistently be picking in the draft, and how this is really a good thing for them. Truth be told, you're not replacing Travis Kelce in the first round. In the last 10 years, 9 tight ends have been picked in the first round of the draft. 0 All-Pros, 1 singular 1,000-yard season. That was Kyle Pitts, his rookie year. Of the 9, David Njoku is the only one to get a second contract from their team with 2 undecideds. Maybe Kyle Pitts gets a second contract. Maybe Dalton Kincaid is only a year into his contract, gets a second contract with his team. The truth is, first-round tight ends are very rarely total busts like O.J. Howard. There are some busts. Some of them are mostly productive. But think about the 5 best tight ends you think of in the league. Most of those guys weren't taken in the first round. Sam Laporta is a second-round pick. George Kittle was a 4th. Travis Kelce is a 3rd. You can find the Travis Kelce replacement by just simply evaluating the guy who I think is the best tight ends end up being raw talent, who just have way more than everyone else who you develop into being the league's best tight end.
Super athletic. I mean,
there it is.
Super athletic, which is tricky now, I think, because we've discussed this, how it impacts the wide receiver class and why we always now, year after year, talking about how great the wide receiver class is for the draft. If you're a high school player or a college player and you're just the kid on your high school
why
team
would you play tight end?
And you're just super athletic, before the answer would have been running back as well. Well, why would I play running back even? If I'm the most athletic guy on your high school team or in college or whatever, your most athletic guys, they're playing what? They're playing like edge rusher if they have the body style to do that or frame to do that, and they're playing wide receiver. And so there's very few tight ends, I think, that are out there that give you the athleticism that's required to have the numbers that you're referencing. Yeah. That's one thing, a blocking tight end, those still have value, but not what we're talking about here. We're talking about receiving tight ends. And it's difficult to find those because if you're fairly good sized and athletic and you can catch the football, you're probably playing wide receiver and teams are going to line you up in the slot or whatever it may be.
And if you're a super athlete, you go in the top 10 still. Like those guys that are like Kyle Pitts, they still go way high, don't they? Like the athletes. In a weird way though, like I don't think of George Kittle as being, I think a lot of the tight ends who go high are the like super athletes.
Kyle Pitts.
Not just the really good ones, just like the like, dear God, you're way too tall and fast and jump too high. And that doesn't always translate into this is it. Like, think of Vernon Davis. It's not that he had a bad career. He had a fine career. But Vernon Davis, the entire time he was in the league, was never the league's best tight end. That was always Tony Gonzalez or then Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski or so many other tight ends you would have taken above him. He was a superior talent, so of course he stayed in the league. But the guys who are just like, Travis Kelce to me is not the most athletic tight end in the NFL. I don't think at any point he's been the most athletic tight end in the NFL. But he has a knack for something in the game that the other guys just don't. I don't care if it's that sixth sense that comes with Mahomes or with Alex Smith before, but that's part of the reason I think those guys are sometimes harder to find. They are great athletes in their own right, but they have something that is hard to put into tangible things because I think partially college teams don't use tight ends as effectively or don't want to use tight ends as effectively as the pro teams do, unless they're a Kyle Pitts-level athlete, in which case they just like, oh, whatever. We'll just line him up wide and essentially treat him like a wide receiver.
Well, to give you some,
but I don't think you can do that in the NFL. I don't think you can just line up Kyle Pitts outside all the time and make it work.
Sorry, Cody. To give you, I was looking up some of the other tight ends who have gone in the first round. And, you know, obviously you mentioned Kyle Pitts, TJ Hawkinson, David Njoku, some other misses, though. OJ Howard.
Njoku's had a nice year last year.
OJ Howard is a miss. Jermaine Gresham is a miss.
Eifert.
The Bengals took him. Tyler Eifert, injury issues was
Bengals
a miss.
Bengals really couldn't get tight end right in the first.
There, I mean, there's been a lot of, and interestingly enough, Hayden Hurst was taken in the first round by the Ravens. The Ravens later took Mark Andrews in the third round of the draft. Hayden Hurst has had an okay career, but as you mentioned,
there's another guy who's one of the best.
As you mentioned, none of those guys, other than maybe Hawkinson or Kincaid, have been the best at their position, at that position, or could be the best.
At least
at that
not
position.
Recently. Look, if you go further back, and I don't know how much this matters, if you go further back, you actually find some more productivity. Like, Heath Miller was a first-round pick, or Dallas Clark, or...
But again, I think the tight ends
But I mean, tight ends, yeah, just, I mean, dude, look at you, way different.
Dalton Kincaid, the reason why we all liked him last year, and heck, considered the Chiefs drafting him, we all liked the pick for Buffalo, because he's a very athletic tight end that we think they're going to utilize in the slot.
You know, which he was,
And that's exactly what they did. And so that's why this year in the draft, and we can have Bink on tomorrow, and we'll ask him this question, because he's been following this more than we have. This tight end class doesn't seem like it's the class you're going to go find your chance to one of the next top five tight ends in the NFL. Probably not coming from this draft class.
Like, seems less likely than last year's, where Laporta and Kincaid both have a chance to probably be top five tight ends in the next couple of years. Laporta was already, I would argue Laporta last year was a top five tight end in the NFL.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. No, he definitely was. I haven't seen anybody really consider the tight end class to be great this particular season.
No, and I'd have to go back through. I don't know what they thought of Travis Kelce's draft class of the tight ends, and he's still been the best tight end in the league.
Fair enough, yeah.
What year
there was
that?
Also the off-the-field concerns at that point, right? I mean, that we've all heard the story time and time again. Of
it's so stupid now, these players, the like Tunsil and Kelce, are like, that was the thing that shoved him to the third round? Pot?
Yeah, it would not happen nowadays.
God.
Yeah.
No.
The Tunsil video, still an all-timer. Still an all-timer moment.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Day of the draft. Thinking of a draft, mock draft sounder.
We got the Peter Schrager's first mock.
Okay, and he's usually connected with the Chiefs pretty
well. He's come on the show.
Yes.
He's
come on every station.
He has a new name, as a matter of fact.
Wait, Pete Schrager has a new name?
Oh, a new name in the draft.
Yeah, a new name.
I was like, okay.
He's changing his name.
He changed his last
name. What? Okay, I got you.
By the way, first tight end taken in the Travis Kelce draft real quick, Zach Ertz.
Oh, pretty good, though.
Gavin Escobar was taken ahead of Travis Kelce. Vance McDonald, remember who that is, he was taken ahead of him, and then eventually Travis Kelce.
Okay. What's the new name for the player?
Peter Schrager has the Chiefs taking Jalen Polk, wide receiver from Washington.
Who?
So I can't have Odunze, but I get the other wide receiver from Washington.
So Schrager says...
Polk made him good, you know?
Schrager says, Polk is a personal favorite, and I keep hearing his name from football people I trust. There's uncertainty in the wide receiver room amidst the legal issue with Rashee Rice. But Polk made countless big plays throughout the Huskies' run to the national title game. And I think Bink has mentioned this, too. It's tough to gauge how good the Washington wide receiver room really is. We think Odunze's there. We think Polk is second and then McMillan's third, but they were all so good. If you have Polk in his own environment, would he have been better than Odunze or would he have been as good as Rome Odunze if he were somewhere else? I think that's the interesting conversation. A lot of the spots where Polk goes is like day two, third round even.
So this seems a bit of a reach then.
It seems a bit of a reach, but if you like your guy, then you like your guy.
Can someone tell me why his stats say he was a freshman 3 years in a row?
Redshirt junior. Yeah, I don't know. Did he run into that? Well, he's redshirt junior.
COVID year or something?
I'm not sure.
His profile, he's a redshirt junior, but I don't.
Okay. He's 6'1". What he actually measured at the combine, 6'1", 203.
He used to be at Texas Tech before transferring to Washington.
Okay. And the great NFL Network, they project as a good backup with the potential to develop into a starter, which, by the way, that's pretty standard stuff from pick 32. It's kind of what you would expect. Nobody's saying you're going to draft a star. The Chiefs, again, found Rashee Rice in the second round, but most of the time...
You're not anticipating that in year one.
Absolutely. It says, has an NFL body type, comes equipped with jump ball talent, catches with hand extension away from incoming defenders, plays with terrific focus to track and finish the deep throws.
Good hand extension. I like that.
Gives effort and gets fired up when executing run blocks.
But, like, if this guy's supposed to be in the second or third round, I will say this in Schrager's defense, and that doesn't mean this guy's going to go that high. Every single year, there becomes this groupthink part of the draft that's right around now where nobody accepts one or two names that are absolutely going in the first round that a bunch of people have just been settled in to calling second and third round picks forever, forever, and forever. So nobody considers them that, and nobody ever brings them up for that name, and vice versa the same, where this entire time, like, I can't think of, you know, the example is last year's. How many times we mentioned that Oklahoma tackle last year?
Like three rounds.
DeJuan Jones. We had decided, because everybody had decided, every mock draft on the planet had decided, he was a late first, second round pick. And so that was the only way we talked about him forever, forever, forever. He was a fourth or a fifth.
Mm-hmm. He actually was pretty good too last year.
The league viewed him entirely differently than the rest of the mock draft, you know, machine.
Yeah.
And so maybe Polk is that guy. You know, I don't want to say for sure.
Well, even with Rome Odunze there, he had over 1,100 yards.
The one thing that scares me is the wide receivers who usually jump up that way, it doesn't usually go great. I feel like the wide receivers who all of a sudden it's like, oh no, the mock people viewed him differently than the league, like Ted Ginn or Ruggs or... It's like they're not usually as productive when they just jump up and take some superior athlete.
You're right, though, on like the day after the draft, and we're going to be hanging out the landing on Thursday of the draft, and then the next day we're going to come in, and whoever, whether it's the Chiefs pick or whoever, and because
we're gonna mock
so much mock fatigue, I would argue, in a way, has happened, but when you're looking at how some of the so-called draft experts laid it out, and because a guy that went in the second round that we thought should have gone in the first, we'll say, wow, that was a great pick in the second round. And then the guy that we thought, as you were saying, Cody, was a third rounder, went in the first five picks of the second round or first round or something like that.
We would say,
that's a terrible pick. You could have got him in the second. No, you couldn't have got him in the second. Who said they could have got him in the second?
The mock drafters.
People
said it.
That is the fascinating thing with the draft. I do buy some of the stuff as we get much closer. Like now we're inside of a week almost.
Sure.
Versus the stuff from January, but also still not trying to let what happens today impact what was the thought. Like that's the whole Marvin Harrison thing. Like if everybody thought he was the best wide receiver for the last 6 months, I'm just not buying that because you're not happy. He didn't go through your stereotypical process. And he turned down sharing, you know, the same information as, because that's just how it's always been done. Like, why? I'm not going to draft that guy now. That'd be stupid to me.
And as you guys said, Schrager normally has a pretty good rapport with what's going to happen with the Chiefs. He says he's hearing Polk's name a lot, maybe in regards to that area, just to give you some more wide receivers who they passed on. Xavier Leggett was passed on. Keon Coleman was passed on. Troy Franklin was passed on. A couple others. Lyle McConkey picked right before them. A.D. Mitchell, you guys mentioned him earlier, goes to the Bills at 28. Yeah. Xavier Worthy taken as well.
I don't think A.D. Mitchell's making it past the Bills.
I don't think so either. But like the way, I will say this about wide receiver. In a year where it seems that the consensus is 15 guys are the top 45 players in the NFL draft. Predicting, let's just say we knew for a fact the Chiefs are taking a wide receiver at 32. Predicting which one, hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. There are going to be, when they pick at 32, no matter how the draft goes ahead of them, 7 wide receivers to choose from. I don't know which one of those 7 they love.
Yeah.
There's probably 7 on the board there. And maybe this is, maybe that's 8, right? The new name Drew just tosses out.
Pearsall. There's so many different names that are.
Coleman, Leggett. Maybe it is A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy or somebody else who, you know, like, it's just kind of an endless number of names who could be available wide receiver at that pick. Look, if it's tackle, I could probably narrow it for you. 2-3 names. I could probably give you 2-3 names who I think are likely to be there that the Chiefs are likely to take. A wide receiver might be 8.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. Also, we'll get back into some comments from Nick Bolton and what it could mean for his future in Kansas City. Today, though, Time Magazine came out with another cover. They do a couple of these now. It's not as simple as like you're the
Times Person of the Year.
Yeah, but it's the Time Magazine Most Influential People list. And once again, Patrick Mahomes is on said list. And this time around, he is on the cover. And which is, look, that's an incredible honor to be on that. And it just speaks again to his status. We just had this conversation yesterday about being recognizable national and international figures like Messi and Mahomes. And obviously Mahomes is on that level now. The quote, and it was like a long column that, I don't know, it's a good 20-minute read. But at one point, they talked to him about a two-sport career. Would he ever have interest in pursuing a two-sport career?
Here's just quarterback. I'll just read. No,
I know. But let me just read you the
no
quote.
No chance.
Quote: "I've talked to the Royals," said Mahomes, "and if I can maybe go out to a spring training, I'm not opposed to that. I'll get it approved by the Chiefs and everything like that. But maybe one of these years, I go out there and see what I got. See if I can still hit the ball or pitch or whatever that is. Maybe not in the games, but I can at least practice with them." I do think that's something that's going to happen, where it's a spring training and he's out there working out with the team. Heck, Russell Wilson was doing this for a while. He was drafted by, who was it, the Yankees or somebody?
Yeah, Rangers, I think it was Rangers.
Rangers. Drafted so by, yeah. That's fine. Like, he's not, the Chiefs are not going to approve him to play in a baseball game, okay? No chance. But we all know that he was an amazing athlete anyway, but one of his good friends, Michael Kopech or whatever, for the White Sox, and he outpitched him. Like, so at spring training, having leadership and things like that around the Royals, why not?
Would you let him play in a real spring training game?
No.
Would you let him step on the mound and deliver a fastball to a kid from Double A?
On the mound? No way.
No.
Hell,
No way.
Spring training, just hanging out. Hanging out, workouts and all that. I think it'd be cool. It's a great thing for the Royals, too, to have him around. He's also, again, part of the ownership group. But no, he does not. I just shared you the video from last night in an actual baseball game where with an actual baseball player where the ace of the Rockies pitching staff, they were forced to pinch run him, I guess, or so they felt they were forced because they didn't have anybody else available. And their pitcher almost broke his arm sliding into home plate. I don't need Patrick Mahomes, who's not a baseball player, playing in a baseball spring training game. There's no chance the Chiefs would ever approve that. Brett Veach wouldn't want to play basketball in the locker room.
He said he'd get, well, he's got more juice now. Back when Brett Veach banned him from playing basketball, he was still like in the second year, third year.
Let
of the
him take
dude. He didn't have the juice he's got now.
I'll be honest, if they three-peat, I think Patrick Mahomes should be able to do whatever he wants with no penalty. If they if they three-peat, he should be able to do whatever he wants, and there should be no jurisdiction above what he wants.
He should be allowed to play 8 minutes in a 76ers game if he wants to. I don't care.
No.
Look, I'll say this.
No, we have you. You're an investment for us. No, you're not allowed to do that. You signed a $500 million contract. I don't care who the hell you are. You are not. We have that much money. Our future is all tied up in you. You're not throwing a pitch 95 miles an hour at a spring training game.
I know for a fact that early in his career, they invited him out for spring training.
And I don't think
to come
he
out.
Throws.
It just the timing didn't work out.
I would not let him throw batting. If he DH'd in
let
one spring
throw,
training game, I think that would be
fine. Professionally. He can throw a baseball.
I know, but I would rather him swing a bat.
I want that perfect UCL
You'd
for my quarterback.
You know?
I'd rather him DH 4 times than pitch.
I bet he could hit a homer in a spring in a practice round, by the
Probably.
Way.
I'm sure. That's why. Guess what?
Off a batting cage, he can definitely slug a homer, right?
Spring training.
I think so.
All good spring training. I just don't need him. I don't
play
need
eight games in a Sixers game, eh?
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know why the Sixers. It just felt right.
Mahomes on the cover of Time Magazine, one of the most influential people on their list today. Up next, we'll get to watch trending back into what Nick Bolton had to say and what it means for the future of two other Chiefs as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.